Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish on Tap, a podcast for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on socials at BeatOn300, and you can follow our main account at On Tap Irish. Today, we'll be doing two things. We're going to be breaking down the dominating performance back in South Bend last Saturday against the Pitt Panthers, 58-7 for our Irish. And then we're going to get into this week's matchup, an 11 a.m. kickoff, crazy kickoff time, or noon kickoff if you're on the East Coast, against Clemson. Would have thought that this would have been more of a primetime game or maybe a night game, but Clemson hasn't held up their end of the bargain, and they are 4-4 at this point in the season. So not as big of a game as it looked like on the beginning of the season schedule, but it is what it is. This last weekend, though, let's talk about Pitt, man. First quarter, kind of slow, right? Only 7-0. But as the game went on, we just took the game over more and more, right? Xavier Watts, two interceptions again on the afternoon. Second game in a row with two interceptions. He also has six interceptions on the season, which leads the nation. SMA had three tutties. Sam Hartman didn't have his best day throwing the football. He did get close to the 300 yards that I called for. It was 288. Probably would have got there if it wasn't such a blowout. But Angeli came in and went 6-for-7 for 92 yards and a touchdown. Overall, the offense probably could have scored like 70 points, at least definitely in the 60s, because the two Sam Hartman turnovers were on drives that we were really driving the ball down the field. And they were early in the game. They were frustrating at the time, but we literally won every quarter of this football game. Like 7-0 first quarter, 10-0 second quarter, 27-0 third, 14-7 fourth. And at that point, it was mostly backups. There is one severe negative from this week's game, and that is that Mitchell Evans is going to be out for the rest of the season. It's a big loss. Mitchell Evans really was tight end one for a majority of the season. He played phenomenal football. He was a great bailout for Sam Hartman, especially during that stretch run where we were playing those tough defenses and we needed someone close to the line of scrimmage that was able to catch the football and get 5 10 yards after, maybe lower their shoulder or hurdle over someone. I know you've been trying to get to work on that hurdle, but I'm gutted for him because he played such a great season and you really would have loved to have him during the stretch run of the season just so that he could grow for next season. And now he has to start that process of getting his body right and getting his mind right and getting everything right for next season, because it's going to be the toughest time of his collegiate career rehabbing from the injury. So prayers go out to him. Hope that he can have a speedy recovery, and I look forward to seeing number 88 run out that tunnel again next year in South Bend. But back to the game, stat-wise, it was an everybody-eats game. So, holy shit. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 different people recorded a reception in this game, with Mitchell Evans being the high in receptions, 5. Rico Flores high on yards, 72. But, yeah. Evans got a few, Tyree, Merriweather, Love, Jaden Thomas. Saw some of the younger guys come in and make plays. Cooper Flanagan, Jordan Faison, Brandon James. Everybody eats. And when you win a game 58-7, you have to be getting rotations in. You have to be getting those young guys in, because you can't afford to lose guys late in a game that is, for the most part, already wrapped up, right? It doesn't make sense to have guys that you can't afford to lose in the game when the game is unlosable. That makes sense. Maybe put that on a fucking t-shirt. Can't afford to have guys that you can't lose in the game when it's unlosable, right? But other than that, we had punt return for a touchdown by Chris Tyree. That's what got the scoring started. We had a touchdown return by Jaden Mickey. We had a punt block that was recovered in the end zone. Like, this game, when I say everybody eats and everybody got a little bit of something, It was that game, and it's one of those games that you need for your program. Maybe we haven't had a stat building game in a while, but in my eyes, you know, it's a stat building game against a Power Five. It wasn't a stat building game against Tennessee State or against a terrible Navy team. It was a stat boosting game against a team that is in the ACC and a team that, you know, we see pretty much damn near every year. So, Jordan Velu, or however you pronounce the guy's name, had an awful, awful, awful afternoon. And I'm sure he doesn't ever want to see the 24 karat gold on the Notre Dame helmets again in his life. But defense picked him off four times in a game that we didn't even have Benjamin Morrison. So the defense overall played out of their fucking mind. And I can only imagine they moved up more in the overall defensive rankings for this season. It is a unit that has carried us throughout the season. Now, I'm not saying the offense hasn't done a great job. Like, Audric Estime has done phenomenal throughout the season. Sam Hartman definitely has not played to the level that we anticipated when we got Sam Hartman, but he still played well. So we have high expectations. Obviously, we're not going to go to the college football playoffs, so we won't meet those expectations. But it doesn't mean that Sam had a bad season. It just, he has not played to the level that we would have needed him to be a Heisman candidate or to be getting us into the college football playoff conversation. We did see the rankings come out last night, and we dropped a spot to 15 in the rankings. It's all aesthetic at this point. If you're outside of that top four, none of that shit matters. Find a way to continue to win football games and to get us into a New Year's Six bowl game. And if we have the opportunity in a New Year's Six bowl game to go up against Brian Kelly and LSU, that's pretty much a college football playoff game for us. As loser mentality as that sounds like, there still has to be a little bit of, I can't be the only one who has a little bit of built up animosity towards that fat prick. So fuck LSU, fuck Brian Kelly. I hope we get them in a bowl game. But if we don't, we play who we play, and we still have to find a way to win either way. So this game, it's hard to tell a lot about your team in a game that is so dominant, and it's hard to tell a lot about your team in a game that you get absolutely dominated in. So with that being said, it's one of those things where we did everything right. There was no path of resistance for us. We had a couple of turnovers in the first half where the team looked like, okay, what the hell's going on? I know I tweeted out we should be blowing them out. That was after the second interception in the first half. And I mean, it could have been 21-0 in the first quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, Chris Tyree had a touchdown. We had two drives that got into the red zone. We just really weren't able to finish our drives off. And all that shit changed in the second half. Nothing else mattered once we got to the second half. The offense was scoring. The defense was scoring. The special teams had already scored. Like, it was just one of those games that, God, I wish I would have been there, right? Looked like it would have been real fun to do. And how about this? First female leprechaun in Notre Dame history in her first game has to put up 58 push-ups. That's mean, guys. Can't be doing that. So 58 push-ups. Shout out to the Lady Leprechaun. First game out there. Maybe she's a good luck charm. The guys were able to score a 50 burger at home in a game that we only had 7 points in the first quarter. So 51 points in three quarters of football. I know her arms were ready to fall off her after all those push-ups, but really happy with the way the guys played. Really happy with the way the game was coached. Coach Golden's really coached a good defense, and he's really going to be working his way into another head coaching job here soon. And Marcus Freeman just continues to impress. I know that maybe he did not lead us the way we needed to be led the first season, and that's fine. It was his first head coaching job. It still is his first head coaching job. I think that despite the losses that we faced this season, he has settled into his job at Notre Dame as the head coach very well. And I think that how we finish this season would be a good point to sit back and take a look and grade him on his first 2 years. So we could end up back in square one where we're in a New Year's Six bowl game and we end up losing that game. And that's where we were when we started the first game of the Marcus Freeman era. Or we could finish the season strong, pray to touchdown Jesus that we could find a way to get into the playoff, even though it's pretty much impossible. We still have odds available for it, so that gives me hope. But at the very least, just find a way to finish the season at 10 wins and then go out there and win whatever bowl game. So get to 11 wins. That will be, at this point, readjusted goal, successful season in mind. So offensively, player of the game, it's hard to go any other way, right? Audric Estime, 19 carries, 114 yards, 3 TDs. The guy is the best running back in college football. He is a guy that every time he touches the football, even though he's not the fastest, still has a chance to take it to the house just because of the physicality that he plays. He presents a different type of fuck you when he runs the football that you don't see across college football currently and that we haven't seen at Notre Dame in many years. So for him to be our running back and for him to continue week in and week out to put up these type of performances, it's beautiful to see. And it helps the rest of our offense be great in what they do. He has to be close towards the top in rushing yards for the whole season. I would imagine. I got to find. Hold on. I'm terrible at looking at this or trying to find this stuff. So, yeah, Audric Estime is a top 10 rusher in the nation. 146 carries, 901 yards, 6.2 yards a pop, and 12 touchdowns on the season. He is, however, tied for first in the nation in touchdowns with 12 with Marcus Carroll of Georgia State. So he's only 186 yards off the pace. I don't know. I don't think, unfortunately, he will finish the season as the top rusher, but there is zero reason on this earth why he can't finish the season in the top 10. And also, too, I have two running backs in the top 5, or I have two running backs in the top 15 in rushing yards. My running back at NIU, Ontario Brown's at 13. Audric Estime's at 9. And then both of my defenses are in the top 30. I have two teams that play good defense and run the football well, which is great for being Midwestern teams. I absolutely love to see that. And I'm happy for Audric just for the production and the success that he's had this season and the success that we would only hope that he would continue to have here at the next level. I do imagine he would go pro. He is a junior this year, so he's eligible to go pro after the season. If I'm him, I would go pro. But if there are some boosters or some very wealthy Notre Dame fans that are out there that can afford to keep Audric in South Bend, I encourage you to step up and do so because it would be electric to get him for one more year, especially too, considering that we don't know what the quarterback position is going to be next year, and it would be nice to have that running back position automatically locked up as we either transition to one of the younger quarterbacks in the system or look to the transfer portal to find a more veteran presence that can lead this team to the college football playoff immediately. But still a great game on Saturday, and the offense and team, or I shouldn't say the offense, but the team found a way to get to 58 points. On the defensive side of the ball, where else can we go than Mr. Interception? Xavier Watts, converted wide receiver, now a safety, 6 interceptions, leads the nation, back-to-back games, 2 interceptions in both. He's a ball hawk. I think that when you play on an offensive position, when you play a position like receiver, right, and then you switch to defensive back, you still
you know, it's not like you forget all the stuff that you learned as a receiver and what receivers' tendencies are and, you know, which way the route tree breaks in what situations. And I just think that Xavier Watts is such an instinctual player that, yeah, maybe he didn't have the best hands or wasn't the best wide receiver, but my goodness, is he a damn good safety. And someone that a year or two ago, maybe you didn't know if they had a future playing in the NFL. And now you look at it like this guy absolutely can play at the next level. He's a ball hawk. He is playing like freaking prime Ed Reed out there every Saturday, and he's coming down with interceptions week in and week out. And I couldn't be more proud of the way he's playing. I couldn't be more proud of the way he battled adversity, because he said there would be times where week in and week out they'd be switching him from receiver to defensive back, receiver to defensive back, just in practice so they could get better looks. And
that's a guy that stayed patient, trusted the process. There was a coaching change. Coach Freeman still saw the talent in him. And now he's out there making key plays every single Saturday to go out there and help us win football games. It's very admirable. And to be honest, in today's state of college football, with the transfer portal, with NIL, with people leaving at the drop of a hat, you absolutely have to respect a guy like Xavier Watts staying true and blue to the program. And now there's tangible evidence week in and week out on how good of a football player he has grown into be. So very proud of the way he's played and just happy to see the success of the defense week in and week out. With a 7-point performance and multiple turnovers, I can only imagine we have moved up in the team defense rankings, probably closer to the top 10. Let's see, defense. All right. So we're not in the top 10, but we're right outside of it. So Michigan's 1, Penn State's 2, Air Force is 3, Ohio State 4, Ohio 5, Clemson 6, A&M 7, Georgia 8, Rutgers 9, UCLA 10, and us at 11. Not bad. 11th ranked defense in the nation. That's something that did not really necessarily have on my bingo card for this season going into they have only allowed 138 points this season, which is good for 15.3 points per game. We give up less than 300 yards a game and 279. And we've played 9 games. So we've also played one more game than a lot of these teams. So I'd also be very interested to see at the end of the season when the dust settles and everyone plays 12 games, where the total team defense would be. But with that being said, it was a great win. 58-7 always plays. Anytime you're able to drop a 50 burger, and they should have had one against USC. They laid off the gas a little bit there at the end. Had a little bit of respect for the rivals. But in our last two games, we have outscored our opponents. So let's see, 48 plus 58 is 106. 106-27, dude. Holy shit. That's just, it makes me sick that we dropped the games that we dropped and we're out of the college football playoff race, because this is a defense that they can play with anyone, dude. They can go out there and play against any team and have an opportunity to win the game. And it's unfortunate that we sit where we sit, but it is what it is. We are on to Clemson. And you know what? I can say it's unfortunate we sit where we sit, but I thank God every day I'm not a Clemson fan, because those losers are 4-4. Dabo Swinney is getting yelled at by kids on his fucking weekly radio show, trying to justify why the man gets paid what he gets paid. So the sky is falling in Clemson, South Carolina right now. They are 4-4. They come off of back-to-back losses, and I can't remember in recent memory the last time that I saw Clemson lose back-to-back football games, but They lost week one 28-7 against Duke. They beat Charleston Southern 66-17. Great win. Fucking loser ass program. FAU 48-14. You have to win that one. They lost to Florida State 31-24. They beat Syracuse 31-14. They beat Wake Forest 17-12. And then they come off back to back losses against Miami. That one was in overtime. And they lost to NC State at NC State. So two road games. They come back home. They actually have only lost at home to Florida State this season. And they're generally really a good football team at home. But that generally gets thrown out the window when Clemson is clearly not a good football team this year, right? They got rid of DJ Uiagalelei because they thought he was the problem. And we see the success that he's having over at Oregon State this season. He's not necessarily the problem. The problem with Clemson is Dabo Swinney is a guy that is – he's not even an old man, so I don't know how he's stuck in his own ways because he's one of the younger – well, maybe he's a little bit older now, but he's not a gray-haired college football coach. He shouldn't be stuck in his ways, right? He has refused to adapt to the NIL and the usage of the transfer portal, and he only believes in – the way he runs things. And the way that he runs things is, for whatever reason, not rationalizing with these young recruits, because the teams that are coming out there on Saturday, like Deshaun Watson ain't coming out that tunnel. Trevor Lawrence ain't coming out that tunnel. Travis Etienne ain't coming out that tunnel. They have good players, and they have a player in specific that they stole from us in Will Shipley that I would love for him to have a bad game, but Cade Klubnik ain't no Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson or even a Taj Boyd. Cade Klubnik actually, I wouldn't say cost them the game against Miami, but he called his own number on a read option that was on a fourth down that he wasn't able to convert, and they end up losing the game on that play. So, again, a very different Clemson team, still a game that – probably will be not necessarily the most stressful game, but a game that it's not going to be as free as we think it is. I still think we win it. I still think it's by more points than the three that they're saying that the line is for this game. Notre Dame should be like a 6.5 point favorite in this game. We are a substantially better team. Both teams have great defenses, so I can imagine that the over-under for this game is actually probably going to be pretty low. Let's see if they have that also released. But, yeah, I saw early line was like Clemson -1.5. Yeah, so the spread is -3, and the over-under is 45. So as someone who bet the Clemson game last week because I bet North Carolina State, I know that that total was right around 45. And the Clemson defense is good. I will say that that's probably the strong suit of their team. It's the offense that struggles to find points and struggles to move the football. And I'm sorry, that plays right into us. We have, in my eyes, the better of the two defenses. I'll say it. I don't care. These eyes never lie. B knows ball. And I think that we have the better of the two offenses. So there, you know, surely nothing can go wrong. We have a better offense and a better defense. We should be able to roll in this game, right? Well, that's when college football happens. But I don't think that this is a game that's won in the 30s. I think this is a game that you see that's maybe like, fuck, dare I say 28-17, which puts you right at 45 total points. I can see it being exactly 28-17. I do, however, think that no matter which way you cut the pie, this is a game that we cover the spread. 3 points, if you can find a 2.5 to avoid the hooking, to avoid a push when we win by three, or if we win by three, then yeah, that's something that I would encourage. I always encourage betting around football numbers. So like -2.5 or -6.5, or if you're betting the dog, the +7.5, all sorts of shit like that. So let's see. Yeah, so it's -3 at -115. So if you're going to get this bet in, get it in now, because the number will only continue to go up. I do know that PointsBet does offer better lines on game day, especially for marquee games. So if you see it at minus 115 somewhere, maybe they'll drop it down to minus 105, something like that. But the FPI gives us a 65% chance to win this football game. And God, it's pretty much 1,000. I know that Clemson will be motivated. I know that Dabo Swinney will be motivated considering how they lost the football game last week. And I know Dabo will be motivated because he may not feel pressure from the people that actually control his job, but the fan base is becoming ruthless in a sense that they're so accustomed to winning football games and having 10-win seasons and being in the college football playoff or at least being in the conversation that they're not used to 4-4. And for the first time in a while, like, they might – I mean, shit, I got to look at who they play, but they could very well not go to a bowl game. If they lose to us, they drop to 4-5, right, which means they have to go 2-1 their final two games or their final three games of the season. And they play Georgia Tech, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Georgia Tech just beat North Carolina. North Carolina has Drake May. And South Carolina, it's tough. It's a rivalry game. SEC game, in-state game. Spencer Rattler, not the guy that we ever thought he was really going to be in college football, but still is prone to have a game where he can just go off. And they have four games and they have to go 2-2. There is a real possibility that they could go 1-3. That would actually be hilarious if they missed the bowl game this year. The only way that we know how is to do our part and win the football game that we have against them and help contribute to the 1-3. And how great would that be if we can help Clemson miss a bowl game for, I'd have to check for the first time in a long time. I'm going to Google that right now. Last time Clemson missed a bowl game. Why don't they ever make this shit easy? It's never easy. You can never just throw it in Google and it appears. It's never that easy. All right, we're just going to go to the list of the entire game. So it would look like, unless I'm terrible at looking at numbers, the last time Clemson missed a bowl game was the 2004 year in between the Peach Bowl and the Champs Sports Bowl, which were both wins. So let's do our part. Let's make some history. It's been 19 years since they haven't made a bowl game. Dabo Swinney's made one every single year that he's been the head coach at Clemson. Let's do our part and put them under 500 and in a very hard spot where they got to go 2-1 against a hungry team and two mid-level tier teams. Not necessarily good teams, but teams that on any given Saturday can go out there and potentially beat Clemson. So offensively for us in this game, I think that we're going to have to stay patient because Clemson does have a good defense. It's not going to be necessarily the easiest time moving the ball down the field, especially considering, you know, you go from a game where you scored 58 points and every single thing that you could imagine went your way. And then this week you're playing against a defense that is a little bit more stingy and is able to not allow so many points. I got to look and see what their high is on the season, but the most points that they've allowed was 31. And that was against Florida State in a loss. So In the three games that they've lost, three out of the four games that they've lost this season, their opponent has scored 28 or more points. So, similar to what I said in my score prediction, which I gave way earlier than I normally do, I think 28-17 wins this game. Find a way to get to 28 points, and we win this football game because I don't see this Clemson team, this offense, getting to 28 points. I don't care that they're at home. I don't care that there's the motivation of losing the game that they did last season or the motivation from Dabo because 12-year-olds are laughing at him because of how much money he makes and how much he sucks. None of that matters. Our defense is real. Our defense is number 11 defense in the nation for a reason. And I think that this has a game. This has the potential to be one of the more lower scoring games. And yeah, if you call 28-17 tight compared to what we played last week, but a game that we should have no problem covering, even if the number gets to 3.5, I take this number up to 6.5. That's what I'll say. Notre Dame's winning this football game. It may be tough in the first half, but ultimately we pull away in the second half. You have to lean on a guy like Audric Estime, and you also have to lean on a guy like Sam Hartman, who's played against Clemson quite a few times in his career, whether, you know, when he was at Wake Forest. So even though Wake Forest wasn't necessary, you know, they don't necessarily have the Jimmies and Joes that we have, Wake Forest still played competitive games against Clemson, and you need Sam to give you something at the quarterback position this week. So I look forward to Sam Hartman giving us what I asked for him last week, and maybe he's not going to throw for 300 yards or 3 touchdowns, but in this game, we need Sam Hartman to hold on to the football. No turnovers, no interceptions, and we'll say 250 yards of total offense, so that includes rushing. Audric Estime, however, I think he needs to have a 100-yard game for us to win this football game, and I think he can do it. I think he'll find the end zone once, if not twice, and we will find a way to win this football game 28-17. On the defensive side of the football, I think from what I've noticed when I watch Clemson is that their toughest games are the games that their opponent has pressure before. When they're able to create a pass rush without having to blitz and then still drop those guys in coverage, pick Klubnik off, or maybe make them fumble the football. Klubnik is a guy that will turn the football over, I believe, in this game at least once. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was multiple times. A defensive or a special teams touchdown would really help the cause this weekend, but I don't think it's imperative for us to win the football game. Like I said, I think we win this one 28-17. I think it's a very good game. I think it's probably one of the more competitive games that we have for the rest of the season, but a game that we find a way to win in a hostile environment in Death Valley at that shitbox in Clemson against Dabo Swinney, who is just a annoying head football coach, if you will. But regardless of result, we'll be with you guys on the other side of this game to recap the Clemson game and then get you guys ready for Senior Day at Notre Dame Stadium, where Sam Hartman will be taking on his former team in the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. So that is definitely going to be a fun one to watch. Let me take a look and see which ranked games are playing ahead of us to see if there's spots that we can slide up here in the rankings. Texas takes on Kansas State. Kansas State's a pretty tough opponent. They're at 23 and Texas at 7. A&M takes on Ole Miss. Just conflicting styles. Tennessee dropped below us in the rankings. They take on UConn. Georgia-Mizzou should be a good game. That one's on after ours at 2:30, 3:30 Eastern. Oklahoma State. Bedlam. That's 9 versus 22. If Oak State can do us a favor, we'll definitely hop ahead of Oklahoma. And then Oregon-Cal could be a good game, but Oregon's so damn strong. Ooh. Washington against USC is a good one. Fortunately, I don't think USC will be doing us any favors. Alabama takes on LSU, though. This is a game that last year LSU won, if you remember. Got to be rooting for the Tide in this one and hoping that they knock that fat prick off. But, yeah, definitely some good matchups between ranked teams across college football this week. I look forward to watching games this weekend and, most importantly, watching our Irish come away with another victory. But with that being said, whether you've been with us for one episode or you've been with us since we started the show back in 2019, we always, always appreciate the listeners and the people that engage with us here on game days and all sorts of stuff. So as long as you're in tune with us, we'll always be appreciative of the support that you give us. But with that being said, this was Irish On Tap, presented to you by On Tap Sports Night. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on socials at PeteOn300, and you can follow our main account at OnTap Irish. Today, we broke down a 58-7 victory over the Pitt Panthers, and then we got you guys ready for the upcoming matchup against Clemson at Clemson this weekend. It's going to be a fun weekend of college football. I anticipate we'll be discussing another Irish victory when we get back with you guys on the other side of this one. But with that being said, we always appreciate your support. We'll be back with you guys next week, and go Irish.